The Seasons of Ernest Fluffy Rabbit by Alec Reed. The Forest. I would like you to imagine a very big forest. The one I am thinking of was dark and frightening, and no people ever lived there. There was a tale that one day a woodcutter had decided to go right into this forest and cut down the tallest tree he could find. He was never seen again, so it was not at all safe for people to go into the dark forest. However, many animals did live there very happily. They were happy because no humans ever came to hunt them, which was hardly surprising. One morning, Ernest, a fluffy rabbit, was hopping gaily through the autumn leaves on his way to visit his friend Charles. Charles was a very big, growly bear. Ernest liked Charles because he was so big and strong. Bears are, you know, and was able to protect a fluffy rabbit who was only little. Charles liked Ernest because the rabbit shared his carrots with him. Charles was rather a strange bear. Well, he must have been. When did you ever hear of a bear who ate carrots? While Ernest Fluffy Rabbit ran singing merrily on his way to see Charles Growly Bear, he did not know that earlier that morning a very, very wicked animal had roused himself from his lair. And this animal was extremely hungry. He was so hungry his tummy rumbled. He even burped loudly, which was very rude. Can you guess who this nasty animal was? It was Ray, the deadly fox. And who did he want for his breakfast? Poor Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. Ray, deadly fox, called across the path to the home of his friend and partner in crime, Wily the Weasel. Wily was crafty and vicious and horrible. And he was a terrible fibber. Oh, he told dreadful lies. So he and Ray Deadly Fox were an evil pair of rogues. Wily came slithering across to Ray Deadly Fox's lair.
"Yeah, Ray," he said. "Is there any deed I can help you with today?"
"I want you to find Ernest Fluffy Rabbit for me. I want to invite him to breakfast. My breakfast. Ha ha ha!"
Barking with laughter, Ray Deadly Fox went on.
"I want you to entice him here. I'm sure you can make up some convincing story. Don't tell him that I want to see him, or he might smell a rat. Or should I say weasel? Ha ha ha!"
"Oh yes, Ray, I'll do that. But may I keep his fluffy tail for dusters?"
"I suppose so. I'd only choke on the tail anyway. Ha ha ha!"
Cheerfully carrying two carrots for Charles Growly Bear, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit went on his way. He shouted up into the trees to his friends, the birds.
"Hello, Robin. How are things with you this morning?"
"Wonderful, Ernest, just wonderful. It may be dark and dismal down there in the forest, but up here in the trees, the sun is shining."
"Hello, Sparrow. Were you able to find enough twigs for your nest?"
"Yes, thank you, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. I managed to pick up several cheep, cheep, cheep."
He spoke to Frederick Grey Squirrel, who was leaping and cavorting from branch to branch. He muttered to Andy the Mole, who was mining a mound in the mush. He called to Christopher Cricket, who was, well, squeaking away as usual. And when there was no one else to talk to, he talked to himself.
"Let me see now. Yes. Well, No. Yes. Oh, dear. I am in a fluffy mood this morning. Oh, look, there's old Wily Weasel over there. He does seem anxious about something. I wonder what he wants."
As soon as he had received his instructions from Ray Deadly Fox, Wily Weasel had scampered to the path that led from Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's burrow to Charles Growly Bear's cave. Wily Weasel was very sneaky because he had guessed that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit would visit his friend. Actually, he was not all that clever, because Ernest Fluffy Rabbit visited Charles Growly Bear every morning. As he prowled along the path, Wily Weasel thought up a story to entice Ernest Fluffy Rabbit away and to deliver him into the clutches of Ray Deadly Fox. Ray Deadly Fox was a great coward and did not dare to go to the path himself, just in case Charles Growly Bear happened to come along. Charles Growly Bear did not like Ray Deadly Fox at all. In fact, not one little bit. Ray Deadly Fox knew that if Charles Growly Bear saw him, he would thump him.
"Hello, Wily," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Isn't it a beautiful day?"
"It may be a beautiful day, but I can't feel the sun or hear the birds sing, because I'm so unhappy,"
answered Wily the Weasel. He wasn't really. It was just another one of his fibs.
"Oh, dear, I'm so sorry,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who didn't like to think of anyone being unhappy. "Is there anything I can do to help?"
"Oh, do you think you could?"
Wily Weasel hissed through his teeth.
"You see, I have a friend, a poor old owl with grey feathers, and just recently he hasn't been able to see too well at night, which, you must admit, is rather disastrous for an owl. He cries and cries all the time. He goes boo-hoo, boo-hoo, while everyone knows an owl should go to-wit, to-hoo. There's only one thing I can think of that would improve his eyesight in the dark. Raw carrots."
What a wicked liar Wily Weasel was. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit thought for a moment, then said,
"I'm sure Charles Growly Bear won't mind doing without his carrots for one day. He's certain to understand if I tell him that I gave them to help a poor night-blinded owl. Yes, Wily Weasel, take me to see your friend, and I'll give him these carrots."
And he held out two nice, fresh, raw carrots, because, you see, Ernest was a very trusting Fluffy Rabbit.
"You are so kind," answered Wily Weasel. "If you come this way, I will take you to him."
Outside, he seemed humble and grateful, but inside he was sniggering to himself.
"What an ingenious fellow I am,"
he thought.
"And now, not only will I be able to have his fluffy tail for dusters, but Ray Deadly Fox can have carrots as vegetables with his meal."
Wily Weasel wriggled along the undergrowth to Ray Deadly Fox's lair, trustingly followed by Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. The trap was set. Charles Growly Bear was not happy.
"I'm not happy,"
he thought to himself, while scratching his chest and sniffing the air.
"I've been waiting here by my big cave for my little friend Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to visit me this morning. He was going to bring me two lovely juicy carrots for my elevenses. I love carrots."
He thought these things in a great, gruff, growly voice. He thought further.
"I think I will go down the path to meet him. There are a lot of dangerous characters in these woods, and a fluffy rabbit can come to harm unless he's careful."
So he set off down the path, but by this time Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was being lured to Ray Deadly Fox's lair. Hippity-hop on his way to be a fox's breakfast.
"Have you seen Ernest Fluffy Rabbit?"
growled Charles Growly Bear to everyone he saw. The spider's spinning web said.
"No,"
the snake's sliding down path said.
"No,"
the rats running by said.
"Yes,"
said the robin.
"Yes,"
said the sparrow.
"He went that way with Wily Weasel,"
they said together.
"What?" bellowed Charles Growly Bear. "That nasty, evil, wicked, sneaky rodent! That horrible creature who hangs around with Ray Deadly Fox! I smell trouble!"
And with that he lurched heavily in the direction of Ray Deadly Fox's dismal lair.
"How much further?"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"I'm getting awfully tired."
"Here we are,"
squeaked Wily Weasel, just as Ray Deadly Fox leapt out from behind a tree. He moved closer and closer, his yellow teeth gleaming. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit tried to turn and run, but Wily Weasel, his red eyes glinting, stood in his way.
"Ha, ha, ha!"
shouted Ray Deadly Fox.
"Ha, ha! Ouch! Ooh!"
squeaked Wily Weasel as Charles Growly Bear, lumbering down the path to thump Ray Deadly Fox, trod on him.
"Take that!"
Charles Growly Bear shouted, giving Ray Deadly Fox a terrible clout.
"And that!"
giving him another one. So, that was the end of any trouble from Wily Weasel and Ray Deadly Fox. They slunk off into the forest, feeling most fed up.
"Charles Growly Bear, you are big and strong,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Would you like a carrot?"
File 2.
The Dam. I'm going to tell you another story about the big, dark and frightening forest. The animals who lived there, you may remember, were very happy because no people ever came to disturb them. Charles Growly Bear lived in a big cave not far from his friend Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. Charles was a very strange Growly Bear because he liked carrots very much. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit shared his carrots with Charles Growly Bear. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit lived in a deep, windy burrow next to a leafy path right in the heart of the forest. Like all rabbit warrens, it was a maze of corridors and passages. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit loved his little home. It was warm and cozy, and all Ernest's Fluffy Rabbit friends liked to visit him there. He had some nice friends. One of them was called Alec Fluffy Rabbit. He used to tell all sorts of jokes and stories that he thought were very funny. No one else did, though. All the Fluffy Rabbits used to sit in a circle listening to Alec Fluffy Rabbit telling one of his jokes, and when he had finished they would all smile politely. But Alec Fluffy Rabbit would laugh until he was purple in the face, and his fluffy tail would go thump, thump, thump on the ground. He and Ernest Fluffy Rabbit were great friends. There was only one thing that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit did not like about his home. Charles Growly Bear could not visit him there because he was too big. At least when I say he was too big to visit Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's home, what I actually mean is that he was too big to go inside. This is hardly surprising when you think how big a bear is compared to a rabbit. So, whenever Ernest Fluffy Rabbit had a few friends round for carrots, Charles Growly Bear used to sit cross-legged outside the entrance to the burrow. Whenever he spoke, his great growly voice echoed through the underground corridors. One afternoon, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was having a carrot party. Alec Fluffy Rabbit was there, along with several other Fluffy Rabbit friends. Robin and Sparrow flew in from time to time, while Charles Growly Bear sat patiently outside, listening to the conversation. Alec Fluffy Rabbit was telling a joke.
"What did the earwig say when he fell off the cliff?"
"I don't know,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"What did the earwig say?"
"Here we go!"
shrieked Alec Fluffy Rabbit.
"Here we go! Get it? Ear, wig, oh!"
The other Fluffy Rabbits sat solemnly in a circle, smiling politely while Alec Fluffy Rabbit laughed himself silly, thumping his tail up and down on the ground. A rabbit should never laugh at his own jokes. Outside, Charles Growly Bear sat scratching his great head.
"I don't get it," he growled to himself. "Here we go. I don't see what's supposed to be funny. Rabbits do have a strange sense of humour sometimes. Ernest, could you pass me another carrot to have with my honey, please?"
"Oh, yes, Charles, here you are. There are three left. It is good of you to sit outside so patiently."
Suddenly, with a scampering and a hurrying of tiny feet, Francis the Field Mouse burst into the middle of this friendly gathering. He was in a dreadful state. His normally sleek fur was mottled and dirty. He looked very frightened, and he was panting so hard he sounded like wheezy bellows.
Oh, 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 Fluffy Rabbit! Oh, Fluffy Rabbit! Oh, Fluffy Rabbit!
He gasped. Yes, yes, yes! Shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, quite excited himself by this time.
There's a fire!
Shrieked Francis Field Mouse.
It started down near my place in the old dried-up riverbed, near the edge of the forest. One of those humans came into our forest. He lit a small fire to cook his sausages. Oh, poor pig. And when he left, he didn't put it out properly. Oh, what are we going to do? We must run away quickly.
I think I can smell the fire now, said Charles Growly Bear, slowly and deliberately. Come on, all of you. Climb up on my back.
So four fluffy rabbits and one sooty field mouse clung to Charles Growly Bear as he lumbered swiftly to the centre of the forest. All around them there was a scampering and a whimpering as the animals fled wild-eyed from the flames. The birds shrieked overhead, urging them on. Andy the Mole, who had popped out from under the ground when he heard the din, took one look round and buried himself again. Pitter-patter-thump, pitter-patter-thump. A thousand animals were beating a straight line to the lake that was in the dark centre of the forest. Actually, the fire was not yet all that big. There was no high wind to drive the flames faster than a greyhound. Even so, it would not take very long to set the whole forest ablaze. Charles Growly Bear and his various hangers-on arrived, out of breath, at the lakeside. Well, at least Charles Growly Bear was out of breath. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, Alec Fluffy Rabbit, Francis Field Mouse, and a few assorted fluffy rabbits were quite fresh as they had been carried all the way.
I'm puff, pant, thirsty, said Charles Growly Bear.
He dipped his snout into the lake and drank greedily.
Oh, Charles Growly Bear, said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. If only this water were nearer the fire, we could soon put it out then.
50 meters away, Ben, the bad-tempered beaver, ignored all the chatter and confusion caused by hundreds of frightened animals. He was savagely gnawing at the trunk of a big tree.
Fall down, you blighter! Fall down! He muttered between bites.
Charles Growly Bear watched him thoughtfully for a minute, then he shambled across to him, followed hippity-hop by Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
Ben Beaver, what are you doing?
Asked Charles Growly Bear.
Mind your own business,
snapped Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
Oh, please, Ben, do tell us,
begged Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
I'm building a dam at the end of the lake with the trees I bite down. I should have thought it was obvious, even to a fluffy fool like you.
But why does the lake need a dam?
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit asked, timidly sheltering behind Charles Growly Bear. Ben, the bad-tempered beaver, did have very sharp teeth.
Because,
snapping at the tree,
it wasn't always a lake. Some years ago there used to be a river here. I built a small dam across it, and the water rose and formed a small lake. Then it looked as if it were going to overflow and become a river again. So I added more trees and the lake got bigger. And so on. Now there's a big lake here instead of a little river. And I'm kept busy all day building the dam higher and higher.
Ooh, Charles Growly Bear, said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. Do you think if we took down the dam...
Take down the dam! Take down the dam! How dare you think of such a thing!
Snarled Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
It occurs to me,
said Charles Growly Bear slowly and carefully,
that if the dam weren't there, the water would rush down the dried-up riverbed and put the fire out.
Just what I was going to say, started Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
Then say no more,
said Charles Growly Bear.
I am a very clever bear to have thought of such a thing. Wait here.
And with that he leapt into the lake and started to swim towards the dam.
Where's he going?
Shrieked Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
He can't interfere with my dam! I won't have it!
Charles was a very big and strong growly bear. but even so, standing up to his furry neck in water, he found it very difficult to move the trees which Ben the bad-tempered beaver had used to build his dam. He heaved and he puffed. Puff, gurgle. Puff, gurgle. Slowly, the first log started to move, and then, with a crash, it toppled off the dam. As Charles Growly Bear groaned with the effort, the second log fell. The water started to pour over the top. Charles Growly Bear did not have to do any more pushing, because all of a sudden the water in the lake pushed aside the dam and rushed down the dried-up riverbed. It swept all before it, including Charles Growly Bear.
"Oh, no!" shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Charles Growly Bear's drowning! Save him, somebody! Please!"
But it was no use. Charles Growly Bear had been swept round the corner in the path of the river. Slowly and sadly, the animals prepared to return to their homes. The fire was out now, drowned in the great onrush of water. But what of Charles Growly Bear, the one who had saved them all? Ernest Fluffy Rabbit cried for his lost friend. Tears were pouring down his bewhiskered cheeks as he walked, too miserable to hop, down the long path that led to his burrow.
"I'll be home very soon," he sobbed, "but there will be no Charles Growly Bear to protect me. I'll have no one to share my carrots with. I've lost the best friend I ever had."
He rounded the final corner and saw his burrow. Sitting cross-legged at the entrance was Charles Growly Bear. Oh, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was overjoyed. He ran around in circles, laughing and singing. He smiled, he cheered, he dithered. Finally, he said,
"But Charles, how did you escape from the rushing water?"
"I'm not stupid," said Charles Growly Bear. "I held on to one of the logs from the dam. It kept my head above the water until the river was calm enough for me to swim to shore."
"How wonderful," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "You are clever."
"And I'll tell you another thing," said Charles Growly Bear. "I've just got that joke. Here we go. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha!"
File 3.
Winter. The dark, mysterious forest had a strange air about it, as if all the animals were waiting for some great, inevitable event. James, the wise badger, sniffed the air and then nodded wisely to a group of field mice who happened to be passing.
"It won't be long now," he rasped.
He had a very hoarse voice.
"No, indeed, no, indeed,"
twittered the field mice as they went about their business. The sky was dirt grey and heavy-looking. The trees had no leaves. They had all fallen to the ground and been soaked by drizzly rain until they were squelchy underfoot. No birds sang, but the squirrels chattered non-stop as they rushed hither and thither, hiding nuts.
"A nut for me, and a nut for me, and a nut for me."
"The way I see it is this," rumbled Charles Growly Bear, sitting cross-legged in the middle of the forest with Ernest Fluffy Rabbit perched on his right knee. "It is going to be a very hard winter."
"Oh, I know, Charles Growly Bear," squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "It's only autumn, but already my toes are cold."
"You poor little rabbit," said Charles Growly Bear. "It is not fair. I am big and strong, and I have a nice thick furry coat to keep me warm when winter comes. You are little, and all you have is a fluffy coat and a bobtail, and that won't keep much warm."
"And my poor ears,"
wailed Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, and indeed the tips of his long rabbit ears were beginning to turn bright red and curl downwards with the cold.
"The important thing is," said Charles Growly Bear gravely, "food. Do you have enough carrots to last the winter?"
"Oh, yes,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, nodding very vigorously indeed to keep warm.
"I've got enough carrots for both of us."
Charles Growly Bear grunted contentedly. He stood up suddenly, causing Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to fall to the ground with a squeak and a thump.
"I must be on my way," he said, "but I will drop by tomorrow to see how you are getting on with preparing your home for the winter. It won't be long before the snow comes."
And he lumbered off into the forest. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit ran as fast as he could, hippity-hippity-hop, hippity-hippity-hop, back to his burrow. It wasn't long before he reached his front door. Well, when I say door, I don't mean door, exactly. The entrance to a rabbit warren is just a hole in the ground. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit leapt into the burrow and started busying himself with his chores.
Now, let me see," he muttered. "I've got plenty of dry leaves to make a blanket for me to curl up in. Now then."
He hopped backwards and forwards, carrying pawfuls of leaves to the corner of his bedroom. Half an hour later, he patted down the last of the leaves.
"There, all finished," he said. "Now I shall be able to have a fluffy night's sleep when the really cold weather comes."
Next, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit went to the entrance of his burrow. He had managed to gather together a few twigs and bits of bramble, and he piled these into a kind of rough gate.
"That should help to keep out the worst of the wind and snow," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to himself. "If only my ears weren't so cold."
By this time, it was nearly dusk. The sky came over very dark indeed. A nasty little breeze rustled the fallen leaves. The animals shivered with cold and wished it were spring again. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit went into his bedroom.
"Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm cold. Oh, I'm cold and tired," he sighed, yawning in a tired, cold fashion.
He noticed a leaf lying in the middle of the floor. He shook his head, puzzled. He was sure he hadn't left it there. He was just about to pick it up and carry it over to the others when...
"Hello,"
said the leaf in a tiny, wheezy voice.
"Hello, leaf," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Oh, no, leaves don't talk. Only animals do that. Oh, dear, what's happening? I'm all fluffy. I'm all fluffy."
And he ran round and round in frightened circles, thinking, "I must keep calm, I must keep calm. Oh, dear." The leaf started to move across the room of its own accord. There was no wind to blow it.
"Don't be frightened,"
said the little voice.
"It's only me, Jones the Spider. I come down here to shelter from the bitter cold outside. I fell asleep in the corner, and when I woke up, I was covered in leaves. I can't get this one off. It's all wet and sticky."
"Oh," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "What makes you think I was frightened? Let me give you a hand with this leaf."
He seized the edge of the leaf with his teeth and tugged. Jones the Spider, struggling away underneath, heaved the other way. The leaf came off with a plop, and Jones the Spider stood somewhat shakily on his eight legs.
"Thank you very much, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit,"
he said in his little voice.
"I do hope you won't mind my coming in uninvited, but it is so cold outside. Not many spiders live through the winter. But I thought that if I could find shelter for a day or two, I might live a little longer."
Two large tears ran down his face.
"Jones the Spider," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who was crying himself by this time, "you can stay here for the whole winter if you like. You're even smaller than I am, so you won't take up much room."
The next morning, Charles Growly Bear woke up, slowly as usual. First, he opened his left eye and groaned. Then he opened his right eye and groaned. After that, he closed both eyes and tried to go back to sleep. That didn't work, so very, very reluctantly he yawned.
"Ho, hum,"
and dragged himself to his feet.
"Something is different,"
he growled to himself, pawing at the air.
Ah, I see it now. It is snowing.
It certainly was. Snow was cascading from the sky, fast down and thick underfoot. Patterns formed on the branches overhead, while below, all trace of path, leaf, and shrub was smoothed out into a great white carpet. Silence was everywhere. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit awoke shivering, his teeth chattering like a baby's rattle. Taking care not to tread on Jones the Spider, who was sleeping on a nearby leaf, he staggered his early morning way to the entrance of the burrow. Icicles hung glittering across the doorway, and when Ernest Fluffy Rabbit set foot outside, the snow made a slight crunching sound as he walked. A small wind during the night had blown tiny snowdrifts along the side of the path. At some time, a lonely sparrow had hopped down the path, leaving his three-toed footprints. The sky was lighter. The sun shone twice at the same time, once from the sky, and the second time shining like a dazzling mirror across the whiteness.
"It's beautiful,"
shivered Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Bah! Bah!"
came a bleating voice from the distance. Looking very forlorn indeed, a large lamb was walking hesitantly down the path.
"Hello," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Who are you?"
"Bah! Bah!" "I'm Geoffrey, last year's lamb,"
bleated the lamb.
"I seem to have got lost. I was with a flock yesterday, but I lost my way in the snow and wandered into this forest. Could you tell me the way out of here, please?"
"Oh, yes," chattered Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "You see, as you're a farm sheep, you don't really belong here, but I'll show you to the edge of the forest with pleasure."
"Bah! Thank you,"
said Geoffrey, last year's lamb. So he followed Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who was having great difficulty keeping his tummy dry as he hopped along in the deep snow.
"Now, it is this way. We turn right here. It's not far now. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so fluffy."
In front of them, his jaws open, his stomach empty, stood Menace the Wolf.
"Lamb for my meal," he roared.
"Help,"
gasped Geoffrey, last year's lamb. Menace the Wolf leapt at him, treading on Ernest Fluffy Rabbit as he went, burying him up to the tips of his ears. Poor Geoffrey, last year's lamb. Menace the Wolf chased him through bushes, gorse and brambles, and round many trees. Every time Geoffrey brushed against a bramble, a bit of lamb's wool would get caught against a thorn and stay there. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, thinking fast, followed the chase.
"Now I must think. Oh, yes, I really must think. If there's one thing I ought to do, it's think. Charles Growly Bear is too far away. What shall we do? I must think."
Then he had a brainwave.
"Geoffrey, last year's lamb!"
he shouted at the top of his voice.
"The edge of the forest is that way. Run!"
Geoffrey, last year's lamb, who was running already, nodded quickly and tore off in the direction Ernest Fluffy Rabbit had indicated.
"Yaboo, silly old menace!" squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Bet you can't catch me!"
With only the bright red tips of his ears showing above the snow, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit sped across the path of Menace the Wolf. The stupid wolf looked round long enough for Geoffrey, last year's lamb, to escape.
"A rabbit is not as big a meal as a lamb," he snarled. "But it's better than nothing. I'll get you."
And he loped after Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. The chase went on for many minutes, and all the time Menace the Wolf was drawing closer, nearer and nearer, till Ernest Fluffy Rabbit could feel the wolf's hot breath singeing his tail. Menace the Wolf had just opened his mouth to grab Ernest Fluffy Rabbit when the Fluffy Rabbit disappeared. Just like that. Menace the Wolf stopped dead in his tracks, panting heavily. He was a very puzzled wolf.
"Silly old wolf,"
shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"You forgot rabbits live in burrows, didn't you? Goodbye, wolf."
With those brave words, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who had indeed leapt into his own burrow, heaved a huge, frightened sigh of relief.
"Phew, I'm not all that brave, really.
I'm a bit fluffy on the whole, but that was a clever idea of mine to lead Menace the Wolf to my burrow. He's far too big to come in here."
Menace the Wolf turned away and padded down the path, very bad-tempered indeed.
"Oh, bah!" he shouted.
Some time later, Charles Growly Bear saw Menace the Wolf slinking across the forest.
"That is Menace the Wolf," he thought to himself. "He is not nice. I think I will thump him."
He chased Menace the Wolf a long way before he caught him.
"Take that," he growled, and thumped him. "And don't come back to this part of the forest in a hurry."
Charles Growly Bear was feeling quite pleased with himself and decided to tell Ernest Fluffy Rabbit about it. He set out on the long trek back to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's burrow. Taking a shortcut through some hedges and bushes, he noticed the bits of wool that Geoffrey last year's lamb had left behind, sticking to the thorns.
"What is this?" he mumbled.
Charles Growly Bear picked up the bits of wool and took them along to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Good morning, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit,"
he shouted down the entrance to the burrow.
"Wake up!"
"Hooray! Charles Growly Bear!" squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "But I've been up for hours."
"I've brought you some wool," said Charles Growly Bear. "A lamb must have been here."
"What's that? What's that?"
wheezed Jones the Spider, who had been listening to the conversation.
"Give it to me!"
He scuttled out, pulled the wool from Charles Growly Bear's paws, and ran back into the burrow. 2 minutes later, he ran out again, carrying two large earmuffs.
"I thought that as I spend all summer spinning webs for myself, the least I can do is to knit you some earmuffs from this wool. They will help to keep you warm for the winter."
"Thank you very much,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, his eyes shining. He put the earmuffs on his head and looked very warm indeed.
"Now I've got a rabbit cozy."
"I've just thumped a wolf,"
mumbled Charles Growly Bear.
"Don't you think that deserves a carrot?"
File 4.
The Flying Rabbit. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was sitting miserably on the branch of a tree, peering nervously down at the wooded paths many feet below.
"Oh, what a situation for a fluffy rabbit to find himself in! I'm so frightened!"
You may well ask, as I'm sure you're going to, how on earth did a rabbit get up a tree? Well, the whole adventure had started a lot earlier that day. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit had resisted the temptation to snuggle down in his bed for an extra half hour or so. It was a very cold morning, and he'd yawned his way to the part of his burrow where he stored his carrots. He had wanted to find two large, juicy carrots for his best friend, Charles Growly Bear. Charles, being a rather strange Growly Bear, was always unhappy if he went without his carrots for a day. The day hadn't started well for Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. He knew it was going to be one of those days. For one thing, he'd forgotten to gather in more carrots the day before, and his supply was running low. There were only the small, unappetizing ones left, hardly enough for a rabbit's breakfast, let alone a bear's lunch. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit sighed. He knew he couldn't let his friend down. Charles Growly Bear would have to eat the last of the carrots.
"Oh, dear. No breakfast today,"
he sighed, and his little stomach started rumbling. So, sadly, he left his warm burrow and set out along the shiny, frost-lined paths in the direction of Charles Growly Bear's cave.
"Oh, it is cold. Oh, I am hungry. Oh, and furthermore... ooh!"
he wailed as he slithered on an icy puddle. But Ernest Fluffy Rabbit wasn't the only one who was cold and hungry on that particular day. Claw, the wild eagle, perched high on a tall tree and looked at the small brown world below. His wings flapped crisply in the winter silence. He gazed down moodily, his frost-cold eyes searching for any sign of life. On one side of the forest, a large bear yawned, beat his chest, and disappeared into the trees. It was Charles Growly Bear, but Claw the Wild Eagle didn't know that.
"A bear is too large for me to kill. I dismiss it from my mind," he stated,
and his beak seemed to cut the cold air into neat slices as he spoke.
"But what is that over there?"
Far below on the other side of the forest, he could see a tiny fluffy shape bouncing somewhat unsteadily on the icy ground. It was Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, but Claw the Wild Eagle didn't know that.
"A rabbit will be exactly right," he said,
and raised his wings as if to sweep aside the dull grey cloud.
"Nearly there now,"
squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who wasn't feeling quite so cold and hungry by this time. He had nibbled at some leaves by the side of the path. He promised himself he'd try and find some more carrots on the way back.
"I wonder how Charles Growly Bear's feeling on a cold morning like this," he said to himself. "Still, he has got a thicker fur coat than I have. Oh, it's gone dark."
But it hadn't. Claw the Wild Eagle had dived down, and his outstretched wings covered Ernest Fluffy Rabbit with heavy shadow. In a moment, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit found himself high in the air, grasped tightly by Claw the Wild Eagle. The ground looked a very long way away, and Ernest Fluffy Rabbit couldn't stand heights.
"Oh, let me go! I mean, don't! Oh, help!"
he shouted. A few of the animals in the forest down below did hear him, and they were very sorry. But what could they do against a flying eagle? Charles Growly Bear also heard the shouts, and for a few minutes he was quite puzzled.
"Where is Ernest Fluffy Rabbit?"
he growled. He could hear his voice, but it seemed to be coming from above him.
"Rabbits can't fly,"
he thought, scratching his head. But he looked up into the air anyway, and saw Ernest Fluffy Rabbit helpless in the wild eagle's claws.
"You stupid eagle!"
roared Charles Growly Bear.
"You've got my friend!"
"That's quite irrelevant,"
snapped Claw the Wild Eagle. Charles Growly Bear looked around him, wondering what on earth he could do to save Ernest Fluffy Rabbit from being a wild eagle's breakfast. He picked up a lump of wood. That's one advantage of living in a forest. There's always plenty of wood about. And threw it high into the air. With complete good luck, it hit Claw the Wild Eagle, who was so astonished, as well he might be, that from way up high he dropped Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. And Ernest Fluffy Rabbit landed on one of the topmost branches of a tree a few feet below.
"Oh, I'm done for! Oh, all my bones are broken! I'm badly hurt! I'm winded. I've got a bruise on my tummy. Gosh, I seem to be all right,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, his voice tailing off in surprise. He had expected to be badly hurt after falling all that way. Then he opened his eyes, and then he wished he hadn't. There he was, lying near the end of a branch at the top of a very tall tree. And still he had no head for heights. After all, rabbits are very short animals, and they aren't built for climbing trees. He felt a little dizzy and very frightened. Charles Growly Bear stared up into the tree.
"We have a problem," he muttered.
He wondered how he could get Ernest Fluffy Rabbit safely back on solid ground again. Most bears do climb trees, and Charles Growly Bear was no exception. The trouble was that he was a very big and heavy bear, and the branches at the top of the tree were rather thin, only just strong enough to support the weight of a rabbit. They were not nearly strong enough to support the weight of a bear.
"Ooh!"
came a little wail from high above. Charles Growly Bear could just make out a little fluffy blob shaking nervously on the bendy branch.
"A squirrel could get up there,"
growled Charles Growly Bear intelligently. But it was no use. You can never find a squirrel when you want one.
They're usually somewhere else, worrying about nuts or arguing amongst themselves. Some of the other animals did come by. Charles Growly Bear asked them for advice.
"Well, really," snapped Ben the bad-tempered beaver, "I should have thought it'd be quite simple. Cut the tree down. I'll do it for you if you like."
No, thank you, said Charles Growly Bear hastily. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit might get hurt.
Ah, yes. How true. I never thought of that,
muttered Ben the bad-tempered beaver. He went away, murmuring,
"Now, there's a problem. Trees are meant to be cut down."
And disappeared, rustling into the undergrowth. I'm afraid beavers do tend to think that way about trees. Andy the Mole was no more help. He took one look at the tree, sighed, and went back underground, presumably to think about it all. None of the birds of the forest was as big or as strong as Claw the Wild Eagle, so they couldn't carry Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to safety. In no time at all, a small crowd of animals had gathered round the base of the tree and were all looking up at Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"I'm still scared,"
shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"And what's more, I'm hungry."
By then it was getting near lunchtime. He realized that he was still holding the carrots that he had set out with earlier that day. He nibbled one of them. After satisfying his hunger, he did feel a bit braver. Remembering an extra store of carrots he'd put aside in another burrow and forgotten about, he stood up on his hind paws and furry tail and shouted to Charles Growly Bear.
"Charles Growly Bear, I've just remembered. Hoo!"
But he had forgotten that he was on a thin, wavy branch. The branch bent, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit lost his balance, and the next second he was hurtling towards the ground. Charles Growly Bear didn't even see him. He was lying on his tummy with his feet in the air behind him, trying to think of a way to rescue Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"I know," he growled triumphantly. "If we..." Ooh!
He felt a thump on his thick, furry back. At the same time, he heard the cries from all the other animals.
"Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's fallen!"
"So I have,"
squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. But he was a very lucky rabbit. He had landed, bump, right on top of thick, furry-coated Charles Growly Bear. And he wasn't hurt at all. Charles Growly Bear was delighted, and all the other animals started applauding. They all thought that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit had landed on Charles Growly Bear on purpose. Of course, you and I know better. But we won't tell. Will we?
File 5.
Spring. One morning in February, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit woke up as usual and started to sniff the air. It had been a terrible cold winter, and poor Ernest Fluffy Rabbit would have been half dead with cold if it hadn't been for the earmuffs that Jones the Spider had knitted for him with bits of wool from Jeffrey last year's lamb. Anyway, something smelt different about this particular morning. It took Ernest Fluffy Rabbit a little while to realize what it was. After months of snow and cold and drizzle, the sun was shining. It was the first day of spring.
"Whee!"
shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, flinging off his earmuffs, which had grown rather tatty after all those months.
"Oh, I must go and tell my friend Charles Growly Bear. It's spring! Spring! Spring!"
All the birds started twittering overhead as they arrived in their hundreds to build their nests again.
"What is that noise?" grumbled Charles Growly Bear, waking from his snores. "Twitter, twitter, and all that." "Oh, I know. It's spring. Oh, I think perhaps I had better tell Ernest Fluffy Rabbit."
And he set off, lumbering down the path in the direction of Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's home. The path was rather crowded that morning. Squirrels leapt backwards and forwards across it, accusing each other of eating the nuts they couldn't find after hiding them away at the beginning of the winter.
instead of shouting, "A nut for me and a nut for me," they squeaked. "You're a silly old squirrel. You're a silly old squirrel." Squirrels get on all right, really, but they do love a good moan. Further down the path, two tortoises yawned heavily. They had just woken up from their long hibernation.
"Did you sleep well, my dear?" said John Slow Tortoise to Mrs. John Slow Tortoise. "Oh, so," she solemnly replied. "I expect I shall sleep well next winter."
And they plodded thoughtfully down the path.
"Cuckoo! Cuckouch! Cuckoo gracious!"
squeaked a cuckoo for no particular reason. Just felt like having a joke, I suppose. He soon went back to chirping, "Cuckoo! Cuckoo!" like any normal cuckoo. "Hello, everybody!" bubbled Ernest Fluffy Rabbit as he joyfully somersaulted down the path, getting himself very grubby. He was somersaulting so energetically that he rolled right past Charles Growly Bear without seeing him. Charles Growly Bear was looking up at the blue sky and thinking of carrots, so he didn't see Ernest Fluffy Rabbit either. Charles Growly Bear often thought about carrots. He liked carrots very much, and even the beautiful weather did not take his mind off them for very long. Charles Growly Bear soon arrived at the entrance to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's burrow.
"Ernest Fluffy Rabbit," he said. "Good morning."
"Not here, not here,"
rasped Jones the spider as he leapt into the doorway.
"Good heavens, it's spring!"
And with that, he ran into the nearest bush to begin weaving his first web of the new year. Meanwhile, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit stopped with a bump as he somersaulted into Charles Growly Bear's cave. The dazed and dirty Fluffy Rabbit stood the right way up and looked around for Charles Growly Bear. The bear was not there.
"Oh," said Charles Growly Bear, standing outside Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's burrow.
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit shrugged his shoulders and started back down the path to his home. Charles Growly Bear shrugged his shoulders and started back up the path to his home. All the birds who had been twittering about overhead practically fell out of the trees laughing. With the melting of the winter snow, all the paths and clearings in the forest had become very wet and muddy. Usually, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit had a beautiful white fluffy furry coat, but after his somersaulting he was all matted and off-brown coloured, dripping little splashes into the mud underfoot. "Drip. Ooh," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Drip. Ooh. Drip. Ooh," as he hopped along the path. "Drip. Ooh. Drip. Ooh. Drip. Ooh. Splash."
"What's that?" squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Oh, silly squirrel! What a silly squirrel I am! Help! Help!"
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit looked into a clearing at the side of the path. Struggling in several inches of slimy mud was a grey squirrel. Actually, he was a red squirrel, but after a few minutes he was grey with mud.
"How did you get there?"
asked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"I fell in, clot!"
Squirrels are rather rude.
"And now I can't get out of the dreadful puddle of mud. Oh, help! Oh, glug, splutter, gurgle!"
The unfortunate Jim Red Squirrel slithered and slid about in the mud, trying desperately to regain the firm ground on the path. But it was no use.
"What shall we do? What shall we do?"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit excitedly.
"Oh, look, dear," said John Slow Tortoise to Mrs. John Slow Tortoise. "There is Ernest Fluffy Rabbit jumping up and down on the path. I wonder what can be the matter with him."
The two tortoises plodded slowly up to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"What is the matter?"
John Slow Tortoise said to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit pointed to Jim Red Squiddle, who was by this time becoming rather frantic, and squeaked,
"He'll drown if we don't do something soon."
"Soon. Soon. Ah, now, there's a thing," said John Slow Tortoise carefully.
"Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Get a move on," shouted Jim Red Squiddle. John Slow Tortoise pushed himself into the mud and swam across to Jim Red Squiddle.
"Climb onto my shell," he said.
Jim Red Squiddle did so. Now, you may not think a squiddle is very heavy, but then you are not a tortoise trying to keep its head out of a pool of mud. To a tortoise, a squiddle is quite heavy.
"I do not think I shall be able to swim to the path with you on my back," said John Slow Tortoise.
"Well, it's too far for me to jump," muttered Jim Red Squiddle. "I've got an idea! I've got an idea!" shrieked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "If Mrs. John Slow Tortoise swims out halfway, then Jim Red Squiddle can use her as a stepping stone and jump from her to the bank. What a clever Fluffy Rabbit I am!" And that's how it happened. Jim Red Squiddle gave two mighty jumps, one onto Mrs. John Slow Tortoise and another onto the path. Well, almost. His second leap took him to the edge of the mud puddle, and he was able to scramble out of the mud from there. But he was very cross.
"Muddier than ever! Muddier than ever! Oh, I am a muddy fool!"
he said as he dripped bad-temperedly down the path. Still, he did remember to thank Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and Mr. and Mrs. John Slow Tortoise for saving him. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and the two slow tortoises were standing on the path, chatting together, when Charles Growly Bear arrived.
"Ah, there you are, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit," he said. "How dirty you look. I've been thinking about carrots."
Just then it started to rain, washing all the mud off Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, making his fluffy coat white again, while the slow tortoise's shells gleamed wetly. All the animals knew that spring had arrived at last.
File 6.
Thunder. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was worried. He was very worried indeed. Mind you, he wasn't going to let on.
Oh, no.
"I'm not worried,"
he said to any of the animals who happened to be passing. "I'm not worried, John Slow Tortoise," he said to John Slow Tortoise. Actually, he had time to say it to him several times, as tortoises happened to pass by rather slowly.
"I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I'm not worried," shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to Frederick Grey Squiddle some while later.
"I think,"
said John Slow Tortoise, after due consideration to Mrs. John Slow Tortoise,
"that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit is worried."
Frederick Grey Squiddle chattered about the forest.
"Ernest Fluffy Rabbit is worried about something. Chatter, chatter."
"I'm not worried,"
sang Ernest Fluffy Rabbit at the top of his voice.
"I just wish Charles Growly Bear were here, that's all."
And he tried to whistle, but he found this rather difficult. Rabbits do, you know. It's something to do with the shape of their teeth. I think we can safely assume that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was definitely worried about something. No doubt we'll learn more about that later. Meanwhile, Charles Growly Bear was thinking. He often found this very difficult. The main reason he found this difficult was that, although he concentrated and concentrated, he nearly always ended up thinking about carrots. He liked carrots very much, so it's hardly surprising he thought about them a lot. However, this time, he concentrated very hard.
"I think,"
he said aloud,
"I will sing. That's what I will do."
And so he did, ambling down the woodland path on the way to visit Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who, you remember, was very worried.
"I'm a bear, so there, tumpty carroty tum, though a rabbit is my chum, I'm a bear."
I should perhaps have warned you that although Charles Growly Bear was big and strong and well able to protect poor, weak animals like rabbits, he was not a very good singer. In fact, he was a very bad singer. Oh, he had a fine, deep, growly voice, but somehow the tune came out all wrong. The birds grew silent, and even the wood pigeons could only say, "Coo, coo," which they do most of the time anyway. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, meanwhile, was getting in a state.
"I'm not worried."
"No, I'm not. Listen, everybody, I'm not worried. I do wish Charles Growly Bear were here." Now I can tell you. The reason that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was worried was that it was getting dark. It wasn't ordinary dark, like at night time. Great dark clouds were gathering overhead, and there was that butterflies-in-the-stomach feeling that means only one thing. Thunderstorm. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit hated thunder. Whenever there was a storm, he would dive into his burrow and dig deeper and deeper, trying to hide. He only felt really safe when he was buried in the deepest corner munching a carrot, and when Charles Growly Bear was firmly situated just outside. It was getting darker and darker, and one by one the animals of the forest crept quietly away to one lair or another to wait for the storm. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit dithered here, and then he dithered there. Hippity-dither, hippity-dither.
"I wish Charles Growly Bear would come. I've got some carrots for him. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm not worried."
In the distance, a deep rumbling sound was heard, coming closer and closer. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit leapt into his burrow and peered nervously out, only his nose and whiskers showing. The rumbling came still closer until at last...
"I'm a bear, so there."
"Oh, Charles!" squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "It's you!"
"Yes, I think you are right," said Charles Growly Bear. "I've come to sing to you."
"Oh, no! I mean, gosh, that is kind of you," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit did not want to upset his friend. He liked him very much. Oh, yes, but he didn't like the way he sang. No one did. Ben the bad-tempered beaver had become even more bad-tempered when he'd heard Charles Growly Bear pass by earlier that morning.
"Shut up, you wake the trees!" he had snapped.
Ben the bad-tempered beaver had a bit of a thing about trees. He was always sure they would run away before he could cut them down. Nonsense, really. But none of the animals in the forest wanted to say anything to Charles Growly Bear about his singing, partly because they knew they would be thumped if they did, but mainly because they liked him and reckoned it was something they would just have to put up with now and again.
"I shall start to sing
now,"
roared Charles Growly Bear. And he opened his big growly mouth very wide. At exactly that moment there was a great clap of thunder, and Ernest Fluffy Rabbit shot into his burrow. Charles Growly Bear was most puzzled.
"I didn't make that noise," he said, scratching his head with a large paw.
Then he realized, "Ah, thunder.
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, there's a thunderstorm. The thunder is very loud."
"I know, I know,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit from inside his burrow.
"Oh, Charles Growly Bear, I'm so frightened. I'm so worried. The other animals don't think I'm worried. I told them I wasn't, but I am."
"Oh, poor rabbit," said Charles Growly Bear. "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sing very loudly, and then you won't hear the thunder. I can sing much louder than thunder."
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was in a quandary. When I say that, I mean he was confused. I know he was in his burrow, really. He didn't like to hear Charles Growly Bear sing, and he was frightened of the thunder. But now he was going to have to listen to both. He put his front paws in his ears, but he couldn't cover them completely. You know how big a rabbit's ears are. The noise was awful. Charles Growly Bear was rather annoyed. No matter how loudly he sang, the thunder was louder.
"I'm a bear. Crash! So there. Crash! Crash!"
The contest went on. One large bear standing on his hind legs in the pouring rain, waving his paws at the sky and roaring away. It was a real challenge. You may have heard the expression, a bear with a sore head. Well, after an hour of singing as loud as he could, Charles Growly Bear was a bear with a sore throat, singing in a forest full of animals with sore ears. The storm raged on, and gradually Charles Growly Bear began to lose his voice.
"I feel croaky," he rasped.
He sat down, feeling very fed up indeed. He felt so fed up, he kicked a tree, and that certainly didn't make him feel better.
"Ouch," he groaned. "I'm not happy."
And he lay down in the rain and put his head on his paws. About an hour or so later, the thunderstorm was over. The birds started chirping again, and the animals emerged from their hiding places, glad that all was peaceful at last.
"It's very wet,"
they said to each other, and
"Yes, it's the rain, you know,"
and other wise remarks like that.
"Hello, Charles Growly Bear,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, hopping out from his burrow.
"The storm's over. I wasn't a bit frightened. Well, perhaps a little, Fluffy."
"Groan, grumble," muttered Charles Growly Bear.
"Oh, dear, you do look sad," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "Would you like a carrot?"
"That would not help,"
sighed Charles Growly Bear.
"But I suppose I could eat two or three."
Which he did, but even then he was sad and sighed a great growly hoarse sigh.
"Oh, Charles Growly Bear,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who was feeling quite downcast himself by this time.
"What's the matter?"
"I thought I could sing louder than thunder,"
grumbled Charles Growly Bear,
"but it was louder than me all the time."
"Oh, good. Oh dear,"
dithered Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. He didn't know what to suggest. He didn't want his friend to sing again. It was an awful noise, but he hated to see him looking so sad. Charles Growly Bear lumbered off down the path, growling,
"I'm not happy."
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit didn't know what to do. He ran up and down the whole length of the forest, avoiding the nasty animals and asking all the others for advice. He asked John Slow Tortoise and his wife, Mrs. John Slow Tortoise.
"We shall have to think about that, my dear," said John Slow Tortoise to his wife. "It wouldn't do to be too hasty."
He asked Jones the Spider.
"Did you say he was having trouble with his spinning?"
he wheezed.
"Oh, singing! Oh, I'm afraid I can't help you there."
He asked Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
"How should I know? Tell him to hug a tree."
Which wasn't much help. Poor Ernest Fluffy Rabbit went chasing around all day, quite tiring himself out. But no one was any help. After all, the other animals weren't all that keen for Charles Growly Bear to start singing again anyway. Finally, later on in the evening, he came upon Hodge the Honourable Owl, who was just getting up.
"I can't think so early in the morning. You mustn't make me angry, or I shall eat you."
"But it's evening." "Oh, no, please don't eat me. I'm not very tasty," squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"It may be evening to you, but it's morning to me,"
said Hodge the Honourable Owl.
"Don't worry, I shan't eat you. It's just my little joke. Hoo, hoo, hoo. It's quite a hoot, really. Bring your friend to me in an hour or two. I think I can solve his problem."
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who was still a bit frightened, ran away to find Charles Growly Bear, which in due course he did. At first, Charles Growly Bear wasn't convinced.
"How can an owl help a bear?"
But eventually, with much huffing and puffing and growling, they went to see Hodge the Honourable Owl.
Tell me your problem, said the Honourable Owl.
Well, said Charles Growly Bear, looking very indignant indeed, I know I can sing louder than thunder, but every time I do, the thunder makes more noise. It gets me down.
When did you try to sing louder than thunder?
Asked Hodge, the Honourable Owl, looking very, well, honourable.
During the thunderstorm, of course, grumbled Charles Growly Bear.
Ah, that's where you made your mistake, said Hodge, the Honourable Owl. You must pick your moments more carefully. Listen, if you challenge the thunder when there isn't a storm, it won't stand a chance. In fact, it will probably be silent. Then you will be much louder. It's important for a bear to know his own strength.
And with that, he flew off into the night. Charles Growly Bear was overjoyed.
I knew I was louder than thunder, he roared. Tomorrow morning, early, I shall prove it.
And in spite of the protests from all the other animals, he did. It took several carrots from Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to quieten him down again.
I'm a bear, so there.
And a very happy one, too.
File 7.
Quack. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and Charles Growly Bear were sharing a snack. Three large juicy carrots for Charles Growly Bear and one large juicy carrot for Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. You may think that this was rather unfair, but it wasn't really. A bear is at least three times as big as a rabbit. They were chatting away as old friends will, passing the time of day.
Ah, carrots,
said Charles Growly Bear, with a sigh of deep contentment.
Oh, yes, carrots,
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. And they munched away, understanding each other perfectly, which was quite clever, considering they were talking with their mouths full.
I think, said Charles Growly Bear, after they had finished, that Ben Beaver
is much too bad-tempered, said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, finishing the sentence for him.
Don't interrupt, growled Charles Growly Bear. I was about to say that I think Ben Beaver is much too bad-tempered.
Oh, I quite agree,
agreed Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
He frightens me sometimes with his snapping and his snarling and his sharp teeth. I'm glad I'm not a tree.
A tooth in the tail would not be very comfortable, said Charles Growly Bear.
But trees don't have tails,
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, who was rather puzzled by the turn in the conversation.
I don't see what that has to do with it, said Charles Growly Bear.
Both animals were getting thoroughly confused. Bears and rabbits often do see things differently. Fortunately, however, to prevent things becoming hopelessly muddled, the conversation was interrupted. Indeed, it was brought to a full stop by the sound of dismal quacking.
Quack! Oh, I'm fed up! Quack! Oh, dear! Quack! Oh! Oh! Quack!
I think, said Charles Growly Bear, after due consideration, I can hear a duck.
Oh, yes, said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. I'd recognise that quack anywhere. It's definitely a duck.
And so it was, a poor, sad, bedraggled, lame duck called Larry. Slowly and painfully he waddled closer and closer to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and Charles Growly Bear. He was a mess. His yellow beak, which normally looked polished and gleaming, was scratched and covered with mud.
Oh, my poor bill! Quack!
He moaned.
Who's Bill?
Asked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
That's his beak, stupid, said Charles Growly Bear. A bill is another name for a beak.
Why?
Said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Don't ask silly questions, said Charles Growly Bear.
Larry's wings and normally proud feathers were all over the place, some pointing north, some south, some east, and some west. But worst of all was one leg with its beautiful webbed foot. It was obviously broken, and he was having great difficulty walking. Finally, he gave up the effort altogether and fell at the feet of Charles Growly Bear.
"Oh, it hurts,"
he said, looking very unhappy indeed.
"Oh, poor, poor duck,"
sobbed Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, feeling very sorry for him.
"A duck with a bad leg has no luck," said Charles Growly Bear,
who was also sorry for Larry the Lame Duck, but at the same time very pleased with himself.
"A duck with a bad leg has no luck. I think I'm a poet. It rhymes. A duck with a bad leg has no luck."
"Leg doesn't rhyme with luck," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"No, you got it wrong," said Charles Growly Bear.
But before he could explain further, a dismal quack from Larry the Lame Duck stopped him.
"We must help you," he said to Larry the Lame Duck. "I'm the thinker round here. I shall think of something, and Ernest Fluffy Rabbit will do it."
"Oh, quack! Thank you,"
quacked Larry the Lame Duck.
"A friend in need is a friend in the reeds."
Yes, said Charles Growly Bear. "Now then, what we have to do is... wait a minute. I haven't had time to think of it yet."
He sat down, and with his left paw he scratched his right ear, and with his right paw he scratched his left ear. This helped him think. It probably only works for bears, but you can try it if you like.
"But what happened?" said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to Larry the Lame Duck. "How did you get in such a state?"
"Well, I was floating in the big, big lake,"
answered Larry the Lame Duck.
"It was quiet and peaceful. The sun was shining, and the other birds in the forest were chattering away. You know the old saying, talk is cheap, cheap. When suddenly there was this movement in the water. It was a large, toothy fish. In fact, it was Pisces the Pike. Quack! It makes me frightened just to think about it. He took a great unfriendly bite at my leg. I flapped my wings and just managed to get away, but I was flying so fast I didn't look where I was going. I flew straight into a tall and very hard tree. You know the expression, hard trees? And fell to the ground. Plop into the mud."
"Oh, poor Larry Duck," said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. "We'll help you. I know Charles would think of something, won't you, Charles?"
Yes, said Charles Growly Bear. "I think we ought to think of something."
"Quack, groan, groan, quack,"
groaned and quacked Larry the Lame Duck.
"I think we ought," said Charles Growly Bear cleverly. "Yes, I definitely think we ought."
Just then the groaning and thinking was interrupted by a loud gnashing of teeth. Gnash, gnash, mutter, mutter. Padding down the wooded path was Ben, the bad-tempered beaver.
"Ah, quack, Ben,"
said Larry the Lame Duck.
"It is good to see you."
"Good," whispered Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to Charles Growly Bear. "But he's so bad-tempered."
"Larry, poor chap,"
said Ben the bad-tempered beaver in a sad voice.
"What's the matter?"
Larry the Lame Duck and Charles Growly Bear and Ernest Fluffy Rabbit all started explaining at the same time.
"Shut up, the lot of you!"
snapped Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
"Larry, my friend, you tell me."
And Larry did.
"Oh, my poor dear friend,"
said Ben the bad-tempered beaver gently.
"Don't you worry, we'll have you right as rain in no time at all. And I'll give Pisces the Pike what for, I can tell you."
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and Charles Growly Bear could hardly believe their ears. Ben the bad-tempered beaver talking like that. He was normally so rude.
"Now you great oaf,"
snapped Ben the bad-tempered beaver to Charles Growly Bear. "You pick up poor Larry carefully now, and follow me!"
So the procession set off. First Ben the bad-tempered beaver, very definitely in command, then Charles Growly Bear with one large paw outstretched. Lying on the pond, muttering quietly to himself, was Larry the lame duck.
"Oh, thank you, Ben Beaver. A friendly deed is a bendy reed. It's an old proverb, you know."
Following close behind, hopping along, was Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Oh, dear, I don't know at all. I suppose it's all for the best. I'm only Fluffy. I don't understand."
A few minutes later, they came to the lakeside.
"Put him down here,"
said Ben the bad-tempered beaver, and he set to, snapping and biting at some trees he had cut down earlier in the day. Before long, the lame duck's broken leg was wedged between two pieces of wood that Ben the bad-tempered beaver had jammed into the ground for splints. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and Charles Growly Bear looked on in amazement.
"But I thought you didn't like animals and things," said Charles Growly Bear.
"I don't, you fool," snapped Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
"But Larry's different. He's my friend. I cut down trees all day to make dams so that muddy little streams can turn into pools and lakes."
"Lovely pools," said Larry the lame duck.
"There, you see,"
said Ben the bad-tempered beaver triumphantly.
"Somebody appreciates my work. I build dams and Larry and all the other ducks swim in the lakes. That's the way it should be."
Having said that, he started chewing away at the base of a tree by the lake. When he had it down to a point, it didn't take long, he called out,
"Pisces! Oh, Pisces!"
Soon there was a rippling in the water and the big, nasty fish came as near to the surface as he could. At exactly that moment, Ben the bad-tempered beaver took a savage nip at the tree and over it fell. It hit Pisces very hard and made him very cross. In fact, he was most hurt. He swam to the bottom of the lake and brooded.
"Oh, well done!" squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Be quiet!" scowled Ben the bad-tempered beaver. "I'm going to sing to my friend to cheer him up."
He opened his mouth and sang like a pair of scissors. "All the rest were only felling, but now I've built a dam, my neat dam. I'm a bonny beaver."
"Bonny beaver? Bonny beaver?" said Charles Growly Bear. "I don't think that's quite right. I think you should be called
Benevolent Beaver,"
shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, all excited.
"As I was saying," said Charles Growly Bear, "Ben the Benevolent Beaver."
"Oh, go away and eat some carrots,"
snarled Ben the Benevolent Bad-Tempered Beaver.
"Thank you for helping me, my friend,"
quacked Larry the lame duck.
"I'll be better soon."
"I think," said Charles Growly Bear to Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, "that we ought to go away and eat some carrots."
And they did.
File 8.
Rotten Fish. The sun was blazing down over the dark forest, and many of the animals were either guzzling water or swimming in it. A few were doing both at once. Those who weren't doing either of those things crawled off to find some shady corner to keep cool. This wasn't too difficult to do, as forests tend to be rather shady places, but even so, it was hot. Charles Growly Bear was lying on his back by the river, dangling his feet in the water.
"I think," said Charles Growly Bear, "that rabbits are nice people, and I will thump anyone who doesn't agree with me."
As there were no other animals nearby at the time, it was most unlikely that Charles Growly Bear would have to thump anyone. He was really just talking to himself. Bears do sometimes do that. It helps them to think more clearly. Anyway, having said that, he went back to sleep in the hot afternoon sun. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was in trouble. In fact, he was in great danger. It had all started very much earlier that day. He'd got up at dawn, when the morning was cool, and it had seemed a good idea to go for a long walk, or hop, as in the case of a rabbit. Before he left, he had placed two large juicy carrots at the entrance to his burrow. These were for Charles Growly Bear, who would have been most upset if his friend had gone and not left him any carrots. As Ernest Fluffy Rabbit hopped his way down the woodland paths, the forest was filled with the sounds of animals and birds waking up.
Yawn, yawn, groan, groan.
"Good morning, good morning," shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to everyone as he passed. "Good morning, Ben Beaver."
"Don't be so hearty,"
snapped Ben the bad-tempered beaver.
"Just because you're up early for once, I bet you've hidden the trees."
Ben the bad-tempered beaver wasn't very cheerful in the mornings. Come to think of it, he wasn't very cheerful at any time of the day.
"Good morning, Francis Field Mouse."
"Is it morning already?"
groaned Francis Field Mouse sleepily and squeakily.
"I think I'll go back to sleep."
He did try, but it was no good. He turned this way and that way, made little squeaky snoring noises and said,
"I'm asleep. I'm asleep."
Eventually, he had to get up. As the forest grew noisier with all the chatter, the sun rose higher and the day became hotter. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit became very hot.
"Whew, I am hot," he said. "I wish I weren't so fluffy, then I wouldn't be so hot."
There was one particular creature of the forest who wasn't a bit fluffy. He was cool and determined and hungry. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit wasn't thinking about him, but it wasn't going to be very long before a poor fluffy rabbit was going to be in a very dangerous situation. But meanwhile, he sweltered in the heat, wishing he hadn't wandered so far from home. From out of the burning sky, a black dot came.
"Ah!"
it said. As it flew closer, Ernest Fluffy Rabbit realized that it was Colin, the hypochondry rook.
"Ah! It's Ernest Rabbit! How are you?" "Ah!"
croaked the rook.
"I'm not very well."
At this point, I ought to explain that Colin, the hypochondry rook, never felt very well. There was really nothing wrong with him, but he always thought there was. Given half a chance, he would go on about any number of imaginary ailments.
"You think I'm molting? I'm sure at least two feathers fell out this morning. I'm going bald, I'm sure I am. Oh me, oh my, ah!"
Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was very patient, and he let the hypochondry rook croak on for quite a while before he interrupted.
"Actually, I'm rather hot."
"Ah, that's nothing! I shouldn't worry about it if I were you,"
said Colin the hypochondry rook, which was a little unfair.
"I must fly. May see you later. Bye now." "Ah!"
He flew off into the blue sky. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit decided to go home. Before setting out, he thought he would go through the long grass by the path to the cool pond just round the corner. That was a very dangerous thing for a fluffy rabbit to do, but Ernest didn't know that. He hopped wearily to the pond and had a long, cool drink of water.
"Whew! Oh, that's better,"
he said, and turned round to start the journey home. He had taken three short hops when suddenly,
"Oh! Oh, no! Help!"
The long grass moved and slowly, very slowly, slithered Cecil the Sinister Snake. He was starving. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was in trouble. Cecil the Sinister Snake stared at Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. He stared at him very hard. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit stared back. The more he stared back, the more difficult he found it to move. They stared and stared until Ernest Fluffy Rabbit couldn't move at all. But Cecil the Sinister Snake could move. He could move very easily. He started slowly and quietly to move towards Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. As he slithered, rustling the long grass, he started carefully to open his mouth. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was absolutely terrified, but there was nothing he could do about it. With a mighty effort, he managed to squeal,
"Go away!"
"No, no, my dear boy,"
hissed Cecil the Sinister Snake.
"You will make a most tasty morsel."
Just then, there was a loud splash in the pool from which Ernest Fluffy Rabbit had taken his drink of water. Walter, the short-sighted water rat, had fallen out of his burrow into the pond.
"Oh, splash!" he muttered. "Fallen in again!"
And he swam round and round in circles, trying to find the bank. That splash saved Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. It jolted him out of his trance and caused Cecil the Sinister Snake to lose concentration for a second. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit turned and started to run away. Furious, the hungry snake lunged at the departing rabbit. His jaws closed, snap, on Ernest Fluffy Rabbit's fluffy tail.
"Ouch!"
shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and carried on running, rather more slowly, dragging Cecil the Sinister Snake behind him.
"Oh, what shall I do? What shall I do?"
Cecil the Sinister Snake said nothing. He was determined not to let Ernest Fluffy Rabbit go, but he knew that if he opened his mouth, the rabbit would get away. Eventually, the snake wrapped part of himself around the trunk of a small tree, which brought Ernest Fluffy Rabbit to a full stop, giving him a nasty tweak in the tail.
"Help! Help!"
shouted Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. But none of the animals dared to approach Cecil the Sinister Snake in case he should turn his attention to them. After all, few of them could run as fast as a rabbit without a snake on its tail.
"I wish Charles Growly Bear were here!"
yelled Ernest Fluffy Rabbit. But Charles Growly Bear was far away, fast asleep. What was to be done? Cecil the Sinister Snake and Ernest Fluffy Rabbit looked as if they were going to stay put for hours. Cecil the Sinister Snake was very stubborn. Fortunately, once again, from out of the blue sky, a black dot came. Colin, the hypochondry rook, had been flying amongst the treetops, and he'd seen that Ernest Fluffy Rabbit was in difficulties. Indeed, he was partly in the mouth of Cecil the Sinister Snake. Colin, the hypochondry rook, wasn't afraid to go near the snake. He knew he could always fly into the air where Cecil couldn't catch him or snatch him.
"Lay off, Cecil!"
he croaked, fluttering down onto the back of the snake. He pecked at him, tap, tap, until Cecil the Sinister Snake opened his mouth and said,
"Stop it!"
That was enough. Ernest Fluffy Rabbit ran like the wind, not stopping until he knew he was a long way from Cecil the Sinister Snake. He stopped near his burrow, panting for breath. Colin the Hypochondry Rook flew down from the sky to join him. He wasn't pleased.
"I think I've bruised me beak,"
he grumbled.
"It'll ruin my crow file. Must fly. Goodbye."
And he flew, hardly hearing Ernest Fluffy Rabbit shouting,
"Thank you!"
Charles Growly Bear woke up with a great roar. You may remember he had been sleeping with his feet dangling in the river. Well, Pisces the Pike swam up from the deepest part and saw Charles Growly Bear's feet. He didn't know what they were, but thought he'd better have a nip just in case.
"Ouch!" roared Charles Growly Bear. "Pisces, you're a rotten fish!"
He leapt to his feet.
"Ouch!"
and grumbled about the forest until he found Ernest Fluffy Rabbit.
"Oh, Charles,"
said Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, anxious to tell his friend about his terrible adventure. "I've just had a terrible adventure. It was hot and..."
"Ernest," said Charles Growly Bear, "Pisces the Pike has just bitten my toe. It hurts."
"But Charles," squeaked Ernest Fluffy Rabbit, "if it hadn't been for Colin Rook..."
"My toe hurts and it's hot,"
said Charles Growly Bear.
"I think I need a carrot."
Ah, well.
File 9.
Froggy and the Two Kisses. On the edge of the forest where Ernest Fluffy Rabbit and Charles Growly Bear lived was a pond, in the centre of which floated a large leaf. It was a lily pad. In the pond lived Froggy, who was, as you would expect, a frog. One warm day in early spring, when bees were buzzing and birds were singing, Froggy was seated by the pond, gazing at some flowers. Froggy was a handsome green frog who loved beautiful things like flowers and pretty girl frogs. He thought all girl frogs were rather gorgeous, but one of his special girlfriends was Gertie Frog. Certainly, there was no denying she was a fine figure of a frog, with large, clear eyes and delicate webbed feet. that she was much tougher and more noisy than Froggy, who was really a very gentle frog. That morning, Gertie hopped, crashing through the long grass, to join Froggy beside the pond.
"Urgh,"
said Froggy, staring lovingly into Gertie's eyes, because at that moment he loved her more than anything else in the world.
"Hello, Froggers, old thing!"
shouted Gertie.
"Fancy a swim to the lily pad?"
"Urgh,"
replied Froggy.
"Oh, yes."
With two splashes, Froggy and Gertie leapt into the water and began swimming towards the centre of the pond. The lily pad was Froggy's favourite resting place. He would sit on it for hours and watch the blue sky above and the silvery grey fish below.
"Look at the little todpiles,"
said Froggy as he seated himself on the lily pad.
"Todpiles? Todpiles?"
yelled Gertie, thrashing about in the water.
"Give me a hand up to the lily pad, old thing. Thanks."
She flopped down beside Froggy.
"They're not todpiles,"
she continued, pointing to the little creatures swimming beneath them, each of which looked as if it were no more than a head connected to a tail as they darted from stone to stone at the bottom of the pond.
"They?"
laughed Gertie, wobbling so much as she pointed that she and Froggy nearly fell off the lily pad.
"They are not todpiles. They are tadpoles."
"Urgh,"
said Froggy.
"What a silly name, tadpoles. They're todpiles, surely." "Tadpoles!"
shouted Gertie, fluttering her big eyes and looking so beautiful that Froggy had to agree.
"If you say so, my dear," he said.
"Urgh."
"They are funny little creatures. I wonder where they come from." "Well, they're baby frogs, of course," responded Gertie.
Froggy thought for a moment about what a beautiful girl frog Gertie was, and he thought about what a handsome and talented frog he was. Then he thought about all the other frogs he had met who weren't so bad either, and he burst out laughing.
"You're having me on," he said. "Those funny little things, baby frogs."
yelled Gertie, giving Froggy a playful push and tipping them both into the water.
"They are, you know."
"What, looking like that? Never,"
said Froggy.
"I bet you two kisses,"
shouted Gertie as they swam to the edge of the pond. All through the warm, sunny days, Froggy watched the tadpoles, and as he watched, he noticed they were starting to change their shape. First they grew legs and arms. Then they started to grow bigger. Froggy had to admit that as time went on, they came to look more and more like frogs. Soon they began to make noises of their own. Before long, Froggy could talk to them and make friends with them. He soon realized that he was looked up to as an older and much respected frog. He rather liked that. One day, Froggy heard a crashing and a swishing through the long grass, and as he tenderly stroked a leaf, he heard a great yell.
"Watch out, Froggers!"
It was Gertie, come to claim her two kisses. She had won her bet, but Froggy didn't mind at all. He liked kisses. All the little frogs blushed to see them and burst into song. And there, for the moment, we must leave them.